thus, that are sounds consisting of cause and effect. You are the cause and your energy is the effect. Oh my Lord, the Supreme Controller. Bhavan, yourself. Tataha, from the universe. Anyaha, separately situated. The creation is made by the Lord, yet he remains separate from the creation. Made by the Lord, yet he remains separate, genau. Maya, the energy that appears as a separate creation. Yat, of this. Atma Parabuddhi, the conception of one own and another. Eyang, this. Indeed, Akasha has no meaning. Everything is your lordship. And therefore there is no hope for understanding my and your. It's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada relishes the text in the Bhagavatam, you know, in the word for word translation, he already goes very much in the depth. Therefore, it's a long, long explanation for one Sanskrit word. Yad, the substance from which. Yasya, of which. Janma, creation. Nidhanam, annihilation. Itihi, maintenance. Ikshanam, manifestation. That. Va, or. Etat, this. Eva, certainly. Vasukalabat. Like the quality of being the earth, and beyond that, the subtle element of the earth, smell. Like the quality of being the earth, and beyond that, the subtle element of the earth, smell. And asti taravaho, the seed or cause. And the tree, the effect of the cause. Translation. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you. And the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, Maya, because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is non-different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. Very technical. Perfect. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Bijang mang sarva bhutanam vidiparta sanatanam. O son of Prita, know that I am the original seed of all existence. In the Vedic literature, it is said, Ishavasyam idang sarvang yatova imani bhutani jayante and sarvang kalvidang brahma. All this Vedic information indicates that there is only one God and that there is nothing else but Him. The Mayavadi philosopher explains this in their own way, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead asserts the truth that He is everything and yet is separate from everything. This is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Everything is one. The Supreme Lord, that everything is separate from the Lord. This is the understanding of oneness and difference. The example given in this regard, Vasukalavat Asti Taravo, is very easy to understand. Everything exists in time, yet there are different phases of the time factor, present, past, and future. Present, past, and future are one. Every day we can experience the time factor as morning, noon, and evening. And although morning is different from noon, mittag, which is different from evening, all of them taken together are one. The time factor is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord is separate from the time factor. Everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by time. But the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, has no beginning and also no end. He's Nitya Shashvata, eternal permanence. Everything passes through time spaces of present, past, and future. Yet the Lord is always the same. Isn't that wonderful sentence? So nicely it is expressed. Everything passes through time spaces of present, past, and future. Yet the Lord is always the same. Thus there is undoubtedly a difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation. But actually, they are not different. Accepting them to be different is called avidya, or ignorance. True oneness, however, is not equivalent to the conception of the Mayavadi. The true understanding is that the differences are manifested by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seed is manifested as a tree, which displays varieties of its strong branches, leaves, flowers, and fruits. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung, Keshavatuya Jagata Vichitra, my dear Lord, your creation is full of varieties. The varieties are one and at the same time different. This is the philosophy of Achintya Veda Abheda Tattva. The conclusion given in the Brahma Sanghita is this: Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anari Rari Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He is an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Because the Lord is the Supreme Cause, everything is one with him. But when we consider varieties, we find that one thing is different from another. We may conclude, therefore, that there is no difference between one thing and another. Yet in varieties, there are differences. In this regard, Madhvacharya gives an example concerning a tree and a tree on fire. Interesting. So this example is to illustrate oneness and differences. A tree and a tree on fire. Both trees are the same, but they look different because of the time factor. The time factor is under the control of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Supreme Lord is different from time. An advanced devotee, consequently, does not distinguish between happiness and distress. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atenu Kampam Susamit Samano, Vinyana Ivatma Kritam Vipakam. When a devotee is in a condition of so-called distress, he considers it a gift or blessing from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is always thus situated in Krishna consciousness, in any condition of life, he is described as Muktipade Sadayaba, a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. The word Dayabat means inheritance. A son inherits the property of his father. Similarly, when the devotee is fully Krishna conscious, messed up by duality, be sure that he will return home back to Godhead, just as one inherits its father's property. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavad Satyavad Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Nasari Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, because everything is an emanation from you, and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is non-different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. This simultaneously oneness and difference is a great subject matter which I really only want to touch upon today. Everything is one and different from the Lord. Personally, to handle this difficult concept, I always thought the example of the sun to be most illustrative. When we open the window in the morning and let the sun shine in, we all have the feeling the sun is in my room. We are in contact with the sun. At the same time, there is a difference between the sun rays and the sun. Imagine the sun in your room. That means your room would not be. So in the same way, this world as an energy of the Lord is one with the Lord, but also different. On our preaching travels, we are often passing through Croatia. And in fact, a few months ago, I came through the mountains of Israel on my way to the Living Sea, and we saw how all the trees in this mountain areas were blackish. A forest fire had just raged there, and Waldbrand had just gebrütet, and the trees were still blackish. They were once green, but with the passage of time, fire transformed them into, or made them blackish. It's the same tree, green or black, but the passage of time has created some variety. In the same way, a devotee in this world remains same, we are always the same person, but time creates a variety in us. Yesterday we shaved our heads in the winter style, not total, but winter style, and I noticed when I looked in the, Dominique told me, please look in the mirror if everything is gone, and I saw gray hair is coming here. I don't know if some of you also get, auch schon, ne?
Hast du schon, Govina? Stars also? See, you're at the black tree now. That means the passage of time has come. But you are still the same. A devotee should know it's always the same material experience, past, future, and the small stretch of time called presence. It's always the same. Should not, Prabhupada gives the implication, Tatenu Kampan, we should not lament when we are on fire. We all will become black trees, like in the forest of Israel. And that's the state, but what does it have to do with us? We remain the same. There is no difference, therefore, between one thing and another for a devotee. Only the varieties are different, just like the tree, the green and the black tree. There is no difference, but the variety, the color, remains, changes. Devotee is therefore tolerant, and he knows, oh, time, Krishna has come in the form of time. He has made me, painted me gray. He has painted me gray. Then one day we would say, oh, Krishna has now come in the form of death. He will take me out of this body. And the devotee, he remains peaceful. If he is in Krishna consciousness, if not, he really laments the passage of time. Yesterday, for a moment, you know, I was trying to do again five things at the same time, and all of a sudden I noticed, oh, it's no longer possible, mist. I shouted, mist! Because I noticed I have become old. Overnight it has happened. And but if one leans back in Krishna consciousness, all right, I'm coming closer to Mrityu Sarvaharashaham. I'm the death of all creatures, Krishna said. Let me prepare this other half of my life so that I can die in Krishna consciousness and meet the Lord during this time in great Krishna conscious ecstasy. For a materialist, death is again totally disconnected from anything pleasant. He is just angry at death. He hopes death doesn't come. He makes arrangement. Like the man who was dying, he put stool all over his body, thinking that he would smell so bad that Yamaraj would not come because of the intense smell. This is, of course, he came. No problem. So material arrangements won't help us. Therefore, we need spiritual arrangements to take care of this. This is one point I wanted to say. Now, one other implication which I really feel very much for is knowing that everything will change into different phases. Alles wird durch die Phasen der Zeit sich verändern. Therefore, how should we live our lives? Well, today I want to preach to all of you about a very important instruction. You all must find your place in life. Because for a devotee, it's important to have four types of understandings. And this is only possible if you find your place, your location. You must give up the association of foolish people who drag you down. Then you should worship and pleasantly associate with Vaishnavas who will lift you up. You should be able to do activities day and night which bring you which prepare you for the life's examination called death. And always remember, you're here only for a short time. These four things are guiding principles for Vaishnavas. Give up the association of foolish people or sinful people. Worship the saintly persons and have association with them. Do devotional service day and night. And always remember, you are here only for a short time, a blinking of the eye. If you can find such a situation in your life which allows you to have good association with devotees, which allows you to do devotional service, which fully, where you give something to Krishna, if you can find a situation where you are free from bad association, this is your place. Now, there's something very important to note in this connection. Everyone has his or her own place. It is different. My place is different from Damodar's place in life. If you find this place where you can offer devotional service and have the strong association, then you can be very strong. In this connection, I want to tell you a story which I find very illustrative and very nice. I also will tell the story because some of you are not so good in English, and just to make a point, I want to say something which is not so easy to forget. Once there was a... I really have to remember. This is a real good thing. Once there was a Raja. Raja means king. And he was very, respectful to sadhus. Each sadhu he would ask, tell me, what is better, to do one's duty in the world of dreams as a grihastha, taking care of a house and maintaining a relationship to one's grihastha partner and so on, or is it better to just immediately renounce the world and become a wandering sadhu like Krishna? So many saints came, and he got many answers. Some said to him, just, yes, be a grihastha, but be pious, and later take to the renounced order of life. Others said, don't entangle yourself in the grihastha life. Come on, it's illusion. Take immediately to the renounced thing. There were many different versions. Some gave him recommendations to be a grihastha with children. Some said, no, you should only associate with your wife, when she serves you prasadam. And, the thousands of possibilities were there. But in his heart, he did not feel satisfied. Until one day, one sadhu came who looked somehow different. He had a seeker. He was a Vaishnav. So the Raja said, I am becoming restless. I need the answer now. Please, can you tell me what is better? Should I take on worldly duties in the dreamlike material existence? Or should I renounce? By the way, I think many of us have contemplated this question and have come to different decisions. But even if we have come for different decisions, I feel devotees always tend a little bit to vairagya, renunciation, even if they have decided to join the grihastha ashram. They often have those feelings, was it the best decision really? And as happy as I was when I was a brahmachari. They are not peaceful, in other words, with this decision, and that in itself can create problems which are unwanted in grihastha life or in any other ashram. So therefore we are addressing this point now. Find your place. So the sadhu looked at the man, at the Raja, the king, and said, "My dear king, everyone is strong or strongest on his own place." So the king thought about that answer, and he did not really understand. "Well, I have asked you something very precise," the king said. "My question was, should I marry or should I renounce?" And again the sadhu answered, "Yes, everyone is strongest on his own place. You will not understand now, but please travel with me for half a year. Then I will make you understand." So the king thought a little bit about it, and because he had faith in the sadhu, he decided to give the duties to rule the kingdom over to his ministers for the period of half a year and travel with the sadhu. He dressed very simply like the sadhu and served him. And one day they came to a town. Now listen very careful what happened, because here the sadhu's teachings, the Vaishnav's teachings began. When they entered the town, they heard the people talking about the princess. The princess of the king was conducting her own Swayamvara. You know what that is? This is she chose her own hubby, or husband, sorry. She was extremely beautiful. Really beautiful and noble, fair-skinned, with raised... anyways, I don't want to get into the details so much. Very beautiful and also very noble, not very highly educated, of high ethical values and so on. A real good choice. And therefore, many princes had come to her. Now, they were all standing in a line, and the princess was passing this line in a palanquin. Mischwedet, Brüderchen, Schlaf war kurz hinter dem Vorhang, hatte ich aber noch nicht gekriegt. Also ist noch die Chance. She was riding on a palanquin and passing all these princes and looking shyly. And the princes were announced. This is the son of the king of the Meghada kingdom, and this is from the Shaila province, the future king. So, and she was looking, praying, "My dear Lord, show me who is my husband." But she did not feel comfortable with anyone, and passed maybe on that day 350 princes. Not saying yes to anyone. Now, in the crowd who witnessed this, you know, there was music, and, you know, festival and so on. There was one ascetic, like a brahmachari, who was so, you know, so saintly that there was this fresh effulgence coming from him. Like some of our Vaishnavas, Prabhupada has said, "Oh, they look as if they come directly from the spiritual world." And when they dance, all the population enjoys. This is how he saw his devotee. Previously they looked miserable, but now they look happy. They were hippie, hippies, but now they are happies. He was very proud of his disciples. So there was one of such young devotee in young ascetic in marriageable age. And the princess, when she saw him, he was standing not amongst the princes, but just a little aside. So when the princess saw him, she felt love in the heart arising, and she immediately came down from the palanquin and tried to touch the feet of the ascetic, but he moved back like a brahmachari who gets a letter. He moved back, but she really felt that this is the best choice. I don't want to be want to have such a worldly person, meat eating kshatriya king, you know. I want a devotee of the Lord. And she felt desperate. She gave her garland to him, but he became very moved, and he just ripped it apart and threw it away like a brahmachari who gets a present. Then the king heard about this scene. His dear beloved daughter, who was really a wonderful person, crying and praying, you know, and he felt so much milos, so much compassion for his poor daughter, who was now rejected, that he said, whoever, maybe he's too poor, this ascete, this brahmachari, is maybe too poor and therefore afraid to marry. He may think he has to give a lot of money, you know. And therefore he said, no money for you. You get half of the kingdom now, half of my treasury now, and when I'm gone, you get all of it. And the brahmachari felt very bad, and he just said, what are you doing with me? I'm on my way back home, back to Godhead. How can you bind a golden chain around me? Where is your understanding? Where are your religious principles? He was very agitated, and he left the place and went into the forest. Now the princess was very determined, like a brahmacharini who says, I will get him. She next day she went also into the forest and followed the ascetic. But the ascetic had moved very very fast, and she had to look, you know, but she was so determined. The wilderness of the forest didn't mean anything to her. She was just determined, kshatriya lady. So she couldn't find it. Now the sadhu said, while this was going on, and our sadhu, Vaishnav Mahashay, was seeing all this, and the king was also seeing it and going like, wow, how strong are attachments, and how strong is renunciation. He was really getting enlightened by seeing this. And the sadhu said, come, we will follow the princess and see what will happen. I think all of you are now extremely fascinated and curious, because this is the hottest subject matter in the Heidelberg Temple. So I'm right in tune here. They were walking behind the princess, seeing what was happening. the princess was going and thinking but the whole day she searched in the forest. She asked different people, and they said, yes, he has gone this way. So she was looking for, then the night came, and the princess was all alone in the forest. So the sadhu said, come on, to the king, we can't let her alone. I mean, she's so miserable, we have to protect the women. And they came in the night and said, dear so-and-so, we don't know you. She didn't look like a princess. She was dressed simple. We are all wandering the same route here. Let us spend the night together under this tree. So they all, took some leaves and lay it down and fell asleep. And it began to rain. A cold, cold rain was falling. Now, at this moment, see, there was a bird family living in the tree. And the bird saw a bird, a man said, it's raining. I mean, these people look very nice who are there. We must give them some, at least it must be warm. They have become our guests. We must take care of them. So the lady said, yes, I see your point. These are our guests. We must take care of them. And she flew into a village, took a burning branch from a fire, and threw it down. And then she had some, for future nest bow. She had stored some building material in the hole of a tree. So she took that and dropped it on the fire so that it became like a warm fire. And the three travelers, the king, the sadhu, and the princess, said, thank you very much. This is very nice of you. So then the birdman saw, actually, what can I expect in my foolish bird life? They are hungry. Let me perform a religious act and, help them to get a good meal. And he flew in the fire, and soon he was burnt and had some very tasty bird meat. He was foolish. He did not know about vegetarianism. He had not thought about this very deeply, at least. So his wife also saw this and thought, what a good example. I mean, this life is so short. Let us, use it for something substantial. I also become a meal. And she did the same. Also, she thought, I should follow my religious husband. So the travelers, and the sadhu said to the king, you are meat eater? Huh? Sometimes, said the king, but I don't feel a good appetite right now. He said to the prince, you are meat eater? I'm a religious meat eater, yes, sometimes, she said. But I also have no appetite right now. So at this, the sadhu rose up and he rose his voice. Now listen, please, very careful, because now the instructions of the story will be put together. He said, do you see? He pointed to the bird. He is living a grihastha life. He is performing his religious duty to take care of guests. Actually, I know it's a Vedic story. I notice, you know, in our times at this point with the meat eating, that's a little bit too heavy, you know, that I will change it conveniently to modern understanding. But here in Vedic times, kings were all eating meat. You know, according to religious rite, it was hunted. You know, they were going into the forest and shooting, and so it was allowed for the Kshatriyas. So the sadhu said, see, he is performing his duty. He is a grihasthi, householder. He is living a life of sacrifice for a higher cause. He is very strong, so strong that he doesn't even consider his death as very important. He is fully fixed in his understanding, and he journeys on either back home, back to Godhead, or into a guru huli boy body, you know. And see the ascetic. He is renounced from the world. He does not want wealth or power. He performs his duty. And because he is performing his duty, he is very strong. But the bird is as strong as the ascetic because he is on his right place. Therefore, I said to you, King, everyone is strong on his place. The ascetic on his place, performing, you know, following the strict rules of his ashram, and we should leave him like this. He was turning to the princess. And the bird is also performing his, he is a grihastha, performing his duty of serving and giving opportunities to others. Charity, it's called, it sounds like Wohltätigkeit. A grihastha has to do that if he wants to be strong. So, and then the sadhu smiled and said, my dear king, you are a very religious person, you are not married. Why don't you? And the princess said, oh yeah, I also, you are a king, wonderful, I have understood, I can't, you know, run after the ascetic, he is in his Swadharma, let him be there, but can I, you know, and they married, maybe not under the tree, but in the kingdom. So this story I find is very important because it makes the point everyone is strong on his or her place. What is your place in Krishna consciousness? Have you found it? What do you need to find your place? Is it a location or is it something else? I would say a place for a devotee is a place of or a situation which allows him to or her to do inspired devotional service. This place each one of us has to find. And you know, Prabhupada never liked the war between sannyasis and grihasthas, which broke out at one stage of the movement. There was this Mayapur festival where it came to a climax, zum Höhepunkt. But we all have to find our place in life and do the things which are related to this ashram. As brahmacharis, sannyasis, we should preach and assist in the preaching movement. As grihasthas, we should another speaker is coming. Ecstasy, it said. So I should stop, I suppose. the grihastha, also we should do our service. The outward thing might change, we might be together with
our partner, or we might have a flat or children, but the principle remains. If this is our place, then go to the place, but do the things which matter. For a devotee, it matters what has he done or she done for Krishna. Devotee should feel another day has passed, another month has passed, another year has passed, another 10 years have passed, and I have not really taken full advantage of my life as a devotee in Krishna consciousness. And what is the service which I'm offering? A devotee is restless. Oh, what service can I do today for Krishna? And you know, use this temporary life, which is you know, like the green tree and the black tree. You know, we are passing through these phases of time, and use it for serving the dear Lord. Krishna says, "Bhaktya mang abhijananti." If you are full with this devotion, you have, you know, to fill your cup. Learned how to tell it better the next time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.